heart that he actually called it disobedience if we're not doing that, if we're not partaking of God's rest tonight. So that sort of maybe that will get our attention. That maybe it convict us all that we're all about obedience, aren't we? But the not allowing God to cause rest or give us rest in our spiritual lives is disobedience in the eyes of God. It actually is something that God ordained, and you think about it in that sense, it's something that's it's pleasing to God, and if we're not partaking of that, if we're not doing that, then we're without faith it's impossible to please God. And that's what entering this rest I'm talking about is about. It's about entering in by faith. Someone put it this way, why is it without faith, why is it impossible to please God? Because God can't bless us tonight. He can't do nothing in our lives. So he's not pleased with that, so it's impossible to please God without faith. We're allowing God to minister and give us this powerful thing we call rest. And let's get into that. Hebrews chapter 4. I'll pretty much cover this whole chapter, then we'll cover some other scriptures in the Word of God to back that up. And I'll just read this first three verses, then you can have your seat. Hebrews chapter 4, powerful epistle in the Word of God. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which you have heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. But I want you to catch something pretty quick right here in verse 1. Therefore, since there's a promise remains of entering his rest. So it tells us right off that this promise is still real, right? The promise of walking in and entering into God's rest is still a real thing. And we'll see just by reading Scripture and just how important that is to us in our spiritual life. It's a promise that from, as we'll read here, from the foundation of the earth, entering to whose rest? God's rest. That's a powerful rest, isn't it? When you're able to enter into his rest, because it's not a natural rest, you know. It feels good to get a good night's sleep sometimes, doesn't it? That's a natural rest, but we all need that. But this is a spiritual rest. I see so many times saints having a powerful move of the Spirit of God, and God is just about that one thing that we don't realize. He's trying to cause, it's not just to see us jump or shout or speak in tongues or run the aisles. That's not what that's all about. God is trying to give us a rest in a spirit that the spiritual man needs something spiritual to cause him to rest. The natural man needs something natural. He needs sleep to cause him to rest. So how much more should we be about the spiritual man getting the rest that he needs? It says entering his rest. It's something that we say, well, I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't I just have that rest? That wasn't what he said here. He said you have to enter into that rest. That's the part we play in. We have to be able to enter into God's rest. When God is trying to cause us to lean upon him, is basically what rest is. It's trusting in God with all your heart, leaning not into your own understanding. You know, consulting him in all our ways, and he'll direct our paths. But that's the kind of rest we're talking about. It's when we enter into God's rest. It's total trust in God and his word. And that's what reason it takes faith. It's all about just being able to rest in God. It's just simply believing God and resting in, being assured his word is true. I hear so often, and we all been guilty of saying it, you know, you ask somebody how they're doing. I'm just holding on. Just holding on by a thread. You know, John says that, Jesus said in the book of John, you know, I've never lost a one that the Father's committed into my hand. And you think about that. How in the world can we think about we're just holding on when God himself said, I've never lost a one that's been committed into my hand. So why do we have to worry about losing God if he's, I mean, we'll be the first one you ever lost, let's put it that way, if he loses you. So that's not rest, is it, saints? That's not trying to hold on and barely hold on by string or struggling as we do sometimes. It's not rest. It's a lack of faith on our part. We have to be realize that. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. You know, there's something about Paul is exhorting us here not to come short of this thing. It's so powerful we can't afford, as children of God, as saints of God, to be able to come short of what God is providing for us in this powerful thing that, he's given us his salvation. He's all about us being able to rest in him. He said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which was heard did not profit them. Powerful thing to say is that you can actually say it under the word of God. You know, I'm teaching this thing here tonight and sharing this with you, but there'll be some of us will walk out of here and not know a word I said. It will go, as we say, go through one ear and out the other. Paul said, fear that. Don't allow that to, that's any time that we hear the word of God and it we don't mix that, it says, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. Because we don't mix that with faith. And what is that? Faith without works is what? Dead. If we don't take this word and receive this word and enter into what God is saying, God's trying to do something powerful in us and through us, we don't allow God to do that, we're not entering into that. We're not mixing our faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, you can actually have faith and hear faith preached. Faith is to preach the spoken word of God brings forth faith. But if we refuse to enter, refuse to receive that tonight, the word is not being mixed with faith. It's not going to profit us anything, is it? So we're talking about entering into something. We're talking about that's our part to do. So he said, we begin to talk about in verse 6, so I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Now we're going all the way back to the children of Israel walking in the desert there, in the wilderness. God trying his best to bless his people, wasn't he? Trying to lead them into a place called Canaan, a place of rest. But 40 years they went around circles, wasn't it? God's very intention was for them. His promise was that they could enter into that place called Canaan, which is just a spiritual rest, we might say. But he said, I swore in my wrath they should not enter into my rest because they did not mix. They were murmuring. They were complaining. They were refusing. It was total chaos at times, total disobedience. And sometimes we know we think about disobedience. You think, well, I don't really have the rest of God, but I'm not really in sin. I'm not really sinning. It's not always sin that's causing disobedience. It's the lack of doing something that God has ordained us to do or entering into something that God's... I remember the kids here one night that several months ago, and I know they've had some powerful service since then, but those kids was... it was just total... It was amazing. It was unbelievable. That those kids, the way that they were able to get into that service that night. And I could see it as one thing, that they were resting in God. They were just having, God was just, they were enjoying the presence of God. And I'm going to get ahead of myself, but that's where we find the rest of God is nowhere but in the presence of God. So those kids, the Bible says we must become as little children. We're good about trying to make little children like us, aren't we? But the Bible says you need to become as little children. We need to be able to take this thing that God's given us that his very heart's in. From the foundation of the earth, he ordained this that we could walk in. We sit here sometimes Sunday morning. We're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. God is trying his best just through worship, The presence of God here is such a powerful way, and we sit there. Not realizing, saints, it's disobedience for the fact that God is trying to bless us not disobedience, I'm not calling it, because we have sin in our life, but God is trying to bless us and lift us up spiritually to take us to a different level with Him, take us into His presence where there's powerful growth. He's trying to get us from God's desire always was for fellowship, wasn't it? For intimate fellowship with man from the garden right on up. It's always been His purpose. And here we are with such a powerful move of the Spirit of God, and we sit there through disobedience. That's the only way I can put it, through disobedience, that we're refusing to allow God to do a powerful, and we don't see it. We see it as, what I need that for? What's that for? What good's, I mean, it don't do nothing for me. The next time you get into a trial and it's just about to drag you down to, you're crawling on your belly, and you'll wonder why I needed that for. Because you cannot fight a spiritual battle outside spiritual means. And this thing I'm calling rest is it's a presence of God. It's one of our spiritual weapons that we have to fight against the strongholds of the enemy. He said, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, this thing that God is talking about here, this powerful thing He's calling rest, from the foundation of the world, it was finished. And God ordained it, that His people would be about that. Think about it. For He has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in the way, and God rested on the seventh day from His works. And again, in this place they shall not enter into my rest. God Himself's given a powerful example here. Hey, I rested. God said, I worked 7 days creating this powerful thing that we're about today. Not just the heaven, but this salvation plan, this whole thing that He created for man. You know, God wasn't about creating a planet for Himself. I mean, He had the universe. Did He need this? He designed it. He ordained it. He created it for a purpose, and that was for His people to be able to be about, even from Adam in the garden there, from taking care of the garden. On the seventh day, He rested. As an example, how much more do we need rest? Now, He worked 7 days, and then He rested. But the powerful thing about it, He's already took care of our rest where we can rest 7 days. We don't have to work the 6 days. He's God's plan of salvation was that He was about us resting in Him every day, wasn't He? Not just on Sunday, but it's every day of the week that we're about to. God's ordained this thing. He's called rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Again, He's not talking to the children of Israel here. He's given this example of what happened to those guys in the wilderness to us today. Let's not harden our voice. Let's not hear this powerful thing that God's about tonight, which is His heart, that He's trying, His desire for us is to be about. Let's not harden our heart to that, and it's called disobedience, isn't it? Anybody in here like disobedience? I mean, you like to think that you're in disobedience to God. We don't see it like that, do we? We don't see God's trying to bless His church and trying to bless us and give us rest through our trials, through our struggles. You know, it's a powerful thing to think about. I was thinking about and reading this about in the book of Acts. It talks about the disciples being beaten for their faith. And the Bible says they went away rejoicing because they had been found worthy to be beaten for the gospel. Now, is that not rest? Something kind of spiritual, something spiritual took place. Something took over, didn't it? It was the presence of God in their life that God had ordained from the foundation of the earth, as He's telling us tonight. When these things come our way, and the Bible says the storms come, don't they? You know, one man built his house up on a rock. One man's house built his house up on the sand, the Bible says, but and the storms came. No matter, I don't care if you're building your house up on a rock, the Word, Jesus, the storms are going to come. It's not just for those who are wishy-washy, which we call building our house up on the sand, but we're all going to face this thing. And the storms come, but I think God's, it's not His desire, it's not His best for us to struggle and fight our way through a storm, but to be able to rejoice our way through a storm. Count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations, which is trials. Count it all joy, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience have her perfect work, you'll be entire, wanting nothing. It's when you come through that trial that you feel like that spiritual growth in your life. You know, we always go back to the Paul and Silas there in the midnight hour, don't we, in jail. And the Bible says these guys were not in jail because they built their house upon the sand. They were in jail because they built their house upon a rock. Because of their faith, they were in jail. But at the midnight hour, they found themselves doing something. And it wasn't complaining and murmuring, was it? It was resting, wasn't it? It was worshiping God and taking advantage of the Spirit of God in their life. You think that had a bearing on the outcome of that? Would we be reading that powerful testimony today if those guys had reacted different to that? Possibly not. Not in the sense that we'll be able to preach that powerful deliverance that they seen from not only them, but the whole jail that shook and released everybody in the jail. So God's about rest. He's about us enjoying His presence. And He gives us those opportunities. He's for a reason. It's not just, again, just to watch us jump up and down or ever how we might shout. It's for a spiritual purpose. Maybe that will, next time God begins to move, let's think about that. He said, for Josh had given them rest, and he would not afterwards have spoken another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. There still remains a rest for the people of God. Again, it's not eternal rest we're talking about here. For he is wise and entered in his rest as himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Going back to that example again, God did his works and he ceased from that work. Why aren't we wise enough to cease from our works? Why aren't we wise enough to take this powerful thing God has afforded called rest and enjoy it and get into God's, to worshiping God and enjoying this powerful thing that he's trying to do? Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, as at least anyone fall according to the same example as through disobedience. Again, he gives us that example of the children of Israel, how they fell because they was not able to enter into that rest because of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division and soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of man's thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is what he's saying here. It's powerful enough, guys, to keep us and give us victory, that we can walk in victory and walk in the peace and the rest of God. And therefore is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open, and even as to him whom we must give account. Seeing that we have a great high priest. Who's that priest we're talking about? Who's the intercessor? God setting to make an intercession for us to the Father. He's telling us this for a reason. The great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be sympathized or be touched by our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Now, I want you to catch this. I never had tied this into. I was reading this recently. You know, we use this scripture quite often in a text that, you know, we're talking about entering to God's throne room. But he ties this right in with temptations, with trials and weaknesses that we have. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with or sympathize with our weaknesses, but we also in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Think about it. What is he saying here? This is not just for when you've done your best and you're on cloud nine. This is a time of temptation. This is a time of trial in our life. This is a time that we need. Where do you find rest at? We'll cover that in a minute. It's in his presence. It's in his presence. And I want to stop right there and just share some other scriptures with you. Exodus 33 and 14. Going back to the children of Israel when they were, Moses was struggling with these guys in the wilderness. And Moses was petitioning God. He was saying, God, I need help, God. I need your deliverance. I need your direction, God. And God, more than one time, Moses petitioned God. It's like he was pleading with God, God, I need your presence. And I got to thinking, do we do that? Do we catch ourselves crying out and pleading with God, petitioning God, God, I need your presence? Are we that hungry? Do we see the need? I think that's where we come up short. Do we see the need, how critical it is that we have God's presence with us? If we're going to be victorious, if we're going to be less than disobedient, if we're going to please God, we're going to have to be about this thing about as Moses was. He was pleading to God, and he said, Exodus 33 and 14, and he said, my presence shall go with you, and I shall give you rest. The presence, see how this goes together? Rest and the presence of God ties in together, it goes together. If you're thinking you need God's rest, maybe you think we ought to realize we need God's presence to get that rest. Isaiah 28 and 12, and this goes right along with this, and this is a powerful scripture that we need to really cling to. To whom he said, this is the rest. Think about it. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the rest that causes the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. The presence of God, guys, the refreshing that God is, right back to the book of Acts, and it talks about it, times of refreshing. God, the prophet spoke about, there would be times of refreshing would come to the church, which there's a rest in that refreshing. And if we're not refreshing, if we're not partaking of that refreshing that God's pouring out, we're missing this rest that was ordained of God. Surely we see that how important that is, that God would put all this emphasis on this, that from the foundation of the earth he ordained this thing. Surely we have to realize it's important to us to take advantage of the presence of God in our life. Take advantage, not just here on Sunday morning, it's just a good time to get in, and it's a powerful time, but how much more should we be about our everyday life walking in the presence of God? You say, well, we can't do that. I'm not talking about walking in cloud nine and going around speaking in tongues all day long. That'd be good if you could do that, but I'm talking about being able to rest in God and allowing his presence to, and sometimes it's that still small voice behind us, isn't it? The presence of God. Everything I start to read, I end up, be reading again here, but he said here, this is the refreshing that he ordained. Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I think we need to grasp that part there and learn of me. Going back to that, the powerful thing that the Word of God does to us, the powerful work that the Word of God does to us is what he's talking about here in Matthew, is that learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Just jump over here. Psalms 44 and 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. She'll keep your hearts and your minds. I'm going to tie that right in together. Jesus said here in Matthew 11:29, and you shall find rest unto your souls. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall strengthen or keep your hearts and your mind. Sometimes we don't realize how significant that is, do we? It's not just about keeping our hearts. We see the need for that, and we're aware of that. How much is our soul need kept? Which your soul is nothing but your, that's your emotional man, that's your intellect, that's the man that, that's the part of us that grieves, and that's a part of us that worries, and that's a part of us that, you know, that we reason with. It's the Word of God that says when we learn of Him, His Word, we take His Word and learn of Him, we find rest into our souls. That's where it comes from, isn't it? Rest to your souls, not just your heart. But how often is our minds, they just bombarded or just with the situations of life. The pastor said the other day, he was talking about, and you get up in the morning and you walk out, you walk through the house and life happens, doesn't it? Life hits you head on sometimes. And sometimes you ain't prepared for life. And if you're not prepared for life, you don't have that rest in your soul. You don't have the Word of God. And we've not been partaking of the rest that God's. We don't know how to partake of the rest. That's the bottom line. If you're not, if what I'm saying tonight, if we're not catching this thing, we're not partaking of, see the need to partake of God's rest in life and allow Him to His presence to lead us and guide us and to be the strength of our life. When these things come up, we're calling life, when they hit you head on and you're not prepared for them. I heard a story of this lady. She's telling about one of her grandkids, deathly sick. I mean, it was bad. It was a bad situation. The family was just, they went berserk. They went crazy. It makes sense, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you have a little kid, you know, in the family, then you're losing that kid. The family went berserk. They went off. All of a sudden, she says, as a peace comes over her, it's just like a rest that come over her. The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, strengthens what? Our minds and our hearts. She was saying that everybody else was devastated. You know, they were, as you can imagine, they were just torn all pieces. And she said she had this peace about it. She said, I even felt kind of guilty. Why ain't I worrying? I mean, this is not right. I guess the family would probably wonder that too. But what about that? Is that not available to us today? That we don't have to react with the way the world reacts when life hits, do we? There's something we can draw from. There's something that God afforded to us, something God ordained from the foundation of the earth. It's called His rest that we can be about when life hits. Okay. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal minded. What is carnal minded? Flesh. The soul man has not been renewed. How's the soul man renewed? Day by day, isn't it? By what? Through the Word of God. The carnal man is, he rules. He's your number one source. So you react as the world reacts. When the baby's dying, when there's no hope, you react to that because you're carnally minded. That's not to say you're in sin. It's just to say you're carnally minded. Your mind's not been renewed by the Word of God. But to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace, isn't it? Which you'd rather have? I mean, it's available, isn't it? God's made this available to us, life and peace. When the world's going chaotic, you still got peace. When you're thrown in jail at the midnight hour and they're beating you, they're threatening to kill you, you can sing worship songs. Romans 11:14-17, for the kingdom of God, I want you to hold on to this. It's always blessed me. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What is the kingdom of God? As we If any of you have studied, we know it's, I guess one translation, the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. That's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven. That's his throne, but we're talking about the kingdom of God, what he's doing here on earth. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not, we think that's all, how many of us, we think about this. We think about God's, that's what God's purpose is in our life, is meat and drink, to furnish our needs. Sure he does. Sure he's about that. But that's not what he's about. I mean, that's just not his goal for us. He said not even take thought of these things, didn't he? He said the Gentiles were the, we're not Gentiles anymore. We're spiritually grafted in as his children now. Gentiles worry about these things. They have concern. He said, but you, we're not to be concerned, but our life shouldn't be about meat and drink or about life. But what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's God's kingdom. That's what God, disobedience will rob that from us tonight. Obedience by being about what he's saying here. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Take no thought tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Can you be, it's almost like it's a sin, isn't it? To be careful for nothing, the Bible says. It's almost like, is that right, God? You want me to be careful for nothing? I ain't supposed to even think about, worry about nothing? That's what he said. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's a righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. That we've been given his righteousness. If we're about his righteousness, we're about depending upon him, there comes the peace, and there comes the joy in the Holy Ghost. Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give the strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Strength, peace is a blessing from God if we're about entering into that. Just about through here. Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Man, what a promise. That will keep him in perfect peace. Does anybody here really have, I don't have to show you, I don't need a show of hands, but perfect peace? You know what that means? I mean, did God just say that? Would he really, could we really be about that? Perfect peace. That means, it doesn't mean life doesn't hit, does it? It means when life hits, you enter into a rest. That you're prepared for this thing. We'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the. Does that mean I'm just going around saying Jesus, 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 Jesus? No. The peace of God comes through, again, it comes through this perfect peace. His mind will stay on him. It's on his word, isn't it? We know his word. His word's hidden in our hearts. That we're something to draw from. The Bible says, draw from the wells of salvation with joy. The wells of salvation is the word of God. We're able to draw from that when life hits. Okay, John 16:33. This thing have I spoken unto you, Jesus said, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Not might have, did he? He didn't say might have. He said shall have. He's talking to his people. You shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Well, why did he say that for? I have overcome the world. Because I've overcome, you can overcome. So be of good cheer. Righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. Again, it's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, strengthens our heart and our mind. Exodus 2:14. For he is our peace. For he hath made both one. Talking about him and us. We become one with him. He is our peace. And broken down, what? The middle wall of partition between us. That's where it all fits in. That's where it all comes together. There's a partition that used to divide us from this thing called rest, this thing called peace. There was a curtain there, that division, that we had no peace, that we had no rest. It's not there anymore. Been taken away, hasn't it? That he said, been broken down, the middle wall of partition, for he is our peace. He doesn't give us a peace, he is our peace. Last scripture. Leave this with you. Colossians 3 and 15. This is the challenge. This is the entering in. We talked about Colossians 3 and 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I thought it was already just, I got born again. I thought I'd have all this. No. He said, let the peace of God rule. You allow the peace of God. Tells me there's a choice. Tells me that I get up, as Pastor said, Sunday morning, get ready for church. Life's waiting on me in the next room. What do I do? Do I be into that? Do I fall under the tribulation that the world reaction, the way that the world react? Or do I draw from those that well of salvation? Do I allow the peace of God to rule? That's when you begin, the inner man begins to kick in, doesn't it? The outer man is the fleshly man. The inner man is the spiritual man. He's been fed the word of God. He walks in the presence of God. All of a sudden, he kicks in. And that thing that we call life is, it's not as bad as we thought it was. It's because we got a help that Jesus, that comes through knowing him, being able to take advantage of his presence in our life. Challenge, isn't it? That's what I said. I think the Spirit of God spoke to me. Practice what you preach. No. I get up here sometimes and I look back and I think, wow, I mean, like everybody's sitting there like, you don't know if they're going to attack you or pray for you. So, so you think, you begin to back off a little bit. You begin to, lose your anointing. You begin to fall under that. But God said, practice what you preach. Rest in me tonight.